You are listening to Real World News. Interview with Mina Rahman of Friends of the Earth International, All Eyes on the Climate Conference. The UN Intersessional on Climate Change, taking place in Bonn, Germany, will come to an end on Friday, and the different analysts are already stating their final conclusions about what happened in this round of negotiations. By the way, nothing to celebrate. Real World Radio interviewed former chair of Friends of the Earth International, Mina Rahman, member of SAM, Friends of the Earth Malaysia. The environmentalist is an expert on the different issues under negotiation and summarized what happened these past 2 weeks in Bonn. Rahman talked about the pledge system that rich countries are trying to establish instead of the Kyoto Protocol and market mechanisms and the reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation in developing countries mechanism. She also explained why it is important for Friends of the Earth and the civil society in general to be present in the UN negotiation spaces. Finally, Rahman made reference to some of the challenges of the social movements in terms of the next UN COP on climate change to be held in November in Durban, South Africa.
Real World Radio is interviewing Mina Rahman. She's taking part in the activities here in this new UN Convention on Climate Change in Bonn, Germany. Mina, part of Friends of the Earth Malaysia. Welcome, Mina.
Hello to Real World Radio.
Mina, we are coming to the end of these 2 weeks negotiations here in Bonn. What do you think are the most important things that has been happening here in these days? How would you summarize the situation?
It is a very worrying situation because I think this, as you remember, the last conference of parties was held in Cancun in Mexico. And in Cancun, we saw a decision that was will not take the world to stabilizing climate. At least for many countries who have been saying well below 1.5 degrees. And the worry was also that there are attempts by mainly the United States, and it's supported by Japan, Canada, Russia, and so on. Many of the developed world in particular, who sometimes don't say it so obviously, actually to create a new regime, climate regime. And if you remember, this was one of the treaties which came out of Rio. The UN Framework Convention on Climate Change was born in 1992. It was a baby of the Rio summit. And it was a recognition that global warming was a very serious issue. Climate change was a very serious issue. And parties had come together with heads of states to recognize that. And one of the most important principles was the common but differentiated responsibility, meaning that the problem is common, but there is a differentiated responsibility because of historical responsibility, primarily by the developed world, who have been pumping a lot of greenhouse gases and who have become very rich because of that. And then now you find that they have taken over a lot of the atmospheric space, and therefore developing countries have to change the way they produce and their economies in a much more sustainable way. Of course, we are all for sustainability, but there are many countries who are not able to do the transformation that is needed, and particularly those who are not responsible or the least responsible, having to face up to the adaptation impacts, or even when a hurricane comes and you are wiped out, like we have faced in Haiti or Honduras, Hurricane Mitch and so on. So it's very, very serious in the terms of the impact. So in Cancun, we were hoping that there would be a movement forward, but what we saw happening was a movement backwards. There is an attempt to actually have what is called a pledge system, where developed countries will pledge what they will do voluntarily, meaning that there is no review of the adequacy of that target in terms of the science. Because what was very critical, which came out of Kyoto, was that you do need to recognize that the target has to be set from a top-down way, meaning what does science say? and on the basis of equity, what is the target the developed countries must do? And based on that, what is the contribution of each developed country? That was what the Kyoto system was supposed to be. But now you find that because of particularly the United States, you have a new regime where they can just pledge what they want to do. And it is not about setting targets at the international level for what they must do. So this is very dangerous. If this agreement from Cancun is locked in or is agreed to in a real operational way, meaning the Cancun decision is elaborated in this way, then we are in real trouble. Because by all accounts, we are already seeing that the numbers on the table show that the temperature of the world will head to 4 to 5 degrees with the pledges which are on the table. And the other worrying thing that we see here is that all the developed countries are pushing very heavily the carbon markets. And we have already raised a lot of concerns in relation to the Clean Development Mechanism. And because this is actually a flexibility, a loophole, where developed countries were given in a chance in the first commitment period of Kyoto Protocol to do the mitigation in developing countries and earn the credits. And then you have this carbon trading. But basically, this is a way of allowing the developed countries not to do the domestic cuts that they have to do in their countries, but to do it in developing countries in the cheapest way possible. And they now want to expand this even further. And there are some countries who are fighting this. For instance, Bolivia is opposed to any new market mechanisms. There are other developing countries who have also expressed similar concerns. So this is something that we must prevent at all costs in Durban. And of course, a major concern of Friends of the Earth International has been the issue of red and forests. And there are some developing countries who actually want carbon trading, forests to be traded as if it was a commodity. And this is really another very serious trend here. So by all accounts, we are very worried. There is still a fight that is happening here, but the world has to mobilize like it never has before if we are to stop the bad governments from advancing in this wrong track. And we have to strengthen the governments who are actually taking the right positions. So there's a lot of work to do, and that is why we have been here as Friends of the Earth doing the best we can to ensure that we do not have a very bad outcome in Durban.
Regarding to this last point that you mentioned, Mina, the people who have been following the coverages done by Real World Radio in the last COPs and hearing you and other of your colleagues can think, never happens nothing good in these kind of meetings. The last years have been happening the same situations. Why do these people keep doing this work, all this energy, these efforts, 2 weeks a year at least, because you also have to be part in the intersessionals and all the other meetings, if nothing happens? I mean, is it good if somebody think they are trying to get the least worst thing? Is it?
No, I don't think it is it. Of course, I think one of the biggest issues that we have also asked ourselves as a federation, as Friends of the Earth, where should we be engaging? And I think the answer is that we have to engage at all levels. I think, the most important battles are in our countries. For instance, in strengthening, policies and movements who are fighting, like back in Malaysia, the people who are actually protecting the forests are the indigenous peoples, standing and protecting the forests from logging and biofuels and all that we stand for. Now that work is very critical, but also the difficulty with climate change is that this is a global problem, and national responses alone are not enough. And this is why you have to have an international response. So although we are engaging in this process, and although we know that the outcomes are very difficult in a favorable way, I think that if we are not here, what then you would see happening is that the voices of the radical movements will not be heard. And I think that this is a space that is the UNFCCC, the United Nations space, is actually a space for all of us to be here in a way that we have to show that we also do not want this process to be hijacked. Now, having participated, and of course, if we don't like the outcomes, and if we are engaging in helping the good governments, the progressive governments in this process, and yet you have a bad outcome, then we have all the more credibility and legitimacy to condemn what happens out of here. So this is why I think we also come to these spaces, because we don't want to be told that you did not do anything. Where were you when this was happening? So I think that at least from our groups, Friends of the Earth has been playing a very critical role. It has been going to the media. It has been exposing the bad behaviors of these governments. We have our groups in the north who are taking very good positions. Same with the developing country groups who are here. We try to strengthen those governments who are the strong voices, and we write about them. And we support them so that their voice is heard, like Real World Radio has to hear that there are people who are fighting. So it is like this is part of the revolution as well. Every space is a space that we have to fight. Of course, what happens in Durban, we will see. At this point in time, I think we see this is an ongoing battle. Every space is a battle. This is not like the world WTO, because if the trade talks don't happen, we don't care, because we don't like the way the WTO system works. But if you don't have an international regime on climate that is effective, then for those especially who are not responsible for the consequences, we have to pay for the consequences. So this is why we need to be here to amplify our voices, to also ensure that in Durban we have very strong movements on the outside with very strong political demands, so that those of us who work inside here and the mobilization that's happening on the outside has very strong voices that will show to our governments that for us this is a very serious issue, and we will not stand quietly and let you governments decide in a way that will be bad for the planet and bad for the poor.
Okay, Mina, and just to finish, it seems that it is part of the challenge, at least, that to find the ways to link Bolivian government, which, as you said, Friends of the Earth International, I think that represents part of the positions of the Federation and the most important political demands, but to link this Bolivian government with some other governments from the different developing countries. It seems that this is part of the challenge of the social movements and social organizations which are working for climate justice.
No, it's very true. I think that what we saw in Cancun, in fact, many of us had a conversation with other developing countries after Cancun, and many of them told us that they wish they were Bolivia. Because in Bolivia, you have a president who is very clear in terms of his thinking, in terms of his vision for the world. And therefore, the negotiators here had a very strong mandate to block what happened in Cancun. They could say that they don't agree with the outcome. But despite that, the Cancun decision was adopted. But I think many of the many delegations that I'm speaking to from the developing world, they said, we wish we had presidents or heads of state that were as strong as Bolivia. Because then they could have, because many of the delegations knew that this was not a decision that would save us. Because one of the dilemmas was that after the failure in Copenhagen, when Copenhagen was, the Copenhagen Accord was crafted by a small group of countries in a very untransparent way. Then you saw that the whole multilateral system collapsed. So when they came to Cancun, they were afraid again that the multilateral system would again collapse. So it takes a lot of courage for governments to actually stand up and say, no, I will not stand up for this. So many of them did not have the mandate from the highest level, or did not want to be seen as breaking the multilateral system. And I think what you see happening since Cancun, from Bangkok to Durban, you can see very big fights happening over the Cancun decision. Many of them are not seeing the Cancun decision in the same way that the developed countries are seeing. Because the final text, nobody knows who drafted the final text. In fact, I have been asking several of them. Nobody seems to know. And so you see that it's the war of interpretations. If you have a outcome where parties do not own the outcome, then there will be a constant fight to say, this is not what I understood. Whereas if the process was really transparent, was really inclusive, then parties would say, yes, I understand. This is what we agreed, and this is how we will move forward. So now you see many countries saying, no, but this is what you say, but no, this is not how I see it. So the fight is going on in terms of what Cancun means. And I think the clarity is that the agenda of the developed world is becoming much more clearer as to how they want to weaken their obligations, increase the obligations of developing countries. And I think Durban will be a test, whether the developing world will stand up or whether the developing world will once again give in to the developed world for a weak system.
Okay, it was Mina Rahman from Friends of the Earth Malaysia. Thank you, Mina.
Hola.